Horton Stage Page. Today is Sunday, the 29th of April, 2007. A few days of summer, a few of a moist and blustery Scottish spring, and more cleaning up of the basement and yard. Such a busy week. Not too busy to put together a show for you. We'll start with Will Stackman's The Week in Boston, move on to Katie Curley's reading of a short monologue on healing, then on again to a short reading I did for GL, then the Bard herself reading her monologue entitled When I Was Young from her short one-act Autumn Leaves. That said, let's move along to the theater happenings in Boston for this coming week, as put together for me by theatrical reviewer Will Stackman. The big opening this week was New Rep's production of Lippa's version of The Wild Party. Equally interesting was Turtle Lane's production of Norman and Simon's The Secret Garden. Family-friendly and very well-sung. And of course, North Shore Music Theater has started their season with a rousing version of the revamped Gershwin show Crazy for You. Downtown, the Lyric is about to open their production of Bernard Shaw's Arms and the Man. And Mike Daisy is finishing Invincible Summer at Zero Arrow and about to open a limited run of Millennium. BU's CFA Theater Department is doing their big production at the Huntington. This year it's Red Noses. On the French Front, Whistler in the Dark has moved to the downstage space at the New Rep to do the area premiere of Willie Knows the Flu Season. For reviews by Will Stackman, go to On the Isle at http://profwill.spymac.com. Sometimes something happens to us when we are young. We may not even notice it at the time. It changes us. Sometimes we get a chance to turn the clock back a bit. Katie's reading regards both.
Yesterday, something happened that may change my life and definitely in the direction of happiness. Now, I've had a pretty good life, a great family, good school, but sometime around sixth grade, I started having what I guess are anxiety attacks. Fears, especially of being underground, and particularly in tunnels. I don't remember when it started, or what caused it. Just suddenly the feeling of fright were there. And over time they got worse. I make some excuse when my friends want to go to a certain sub shop because it's in a basement, and down dark flight stairs. I never ride on the subway. I skipped my last class trip to an amusement park, you can imagine why, and I made arrangements to visit my cousin for Thanksgiving, rather than drive with my mom and dad to grandma's through a 2-mile tunnel. But yesterday, my cousin and I were running around in a maze. The maze itself was mildly scary. Narrow green leafy walls, I'd look up and see the sky, so I was okay. Then, in the very middle of the maze, there was this 40-foot tube, just wide enough for one person. My cousin jumped right in and called for me to follow him. I knelt down on the ground, next to the tube, and I began to shake, that familiar cold creeping over me. I was about to get up and yell that I would meet him at the other end, but I decided not this time. Give it a try. On my belly, reaching with my elbows, I began to wriggle through. Halfway, I started to panic. I'd get stuck, black out, be alone in the dark. But I knew my cousin was right ahead, so I took some deep breaths and kept on, and I made it! I was jumping with joy, laughing, crying, rolling around on the ground. My cousin thought I'd gone nuts, but he's great. We went back together and crawled through 5 times more. I can't tell you what a relief this is, how free I feel. Right now, it's like I'm ready to take on the world.
My reading was done to add to GL's website, stagepage.info, but it works well enough for this show. Like many mouth-offs, it deals with perceived unfairness and gave me a chance to rail against the man. Here I am reading, Can We Please Wake Up? Can we please wake up and admit that our drug policies are evil? Not just mistaken and ineffective, but out and out wrong? We have more people in jail here for drugs than Europe has for all crime put together. A huge portion of our population, especially people of color, have had their lives ruined. But even more are lucky, and they get away with it. Clearly, the laws aren't fair. They're enforced selectively. Everybody has a friend or a family member who uses. Cops and prosecutors, too. But we don't think of them as criminals. They're people with weaknesses, like smokers or drinkers. We'd never turn them in to the police. The rich and well-connected can get help. Celebrities' pictures are on TV checking in and out of rehab. No wonder kids think they can experiment without getting caught. But some of them will get caught and charged. Far more blacks or Hispanics than whites, although they use about equally. And far, far more who are poor will go to jail. Barack Obama, like Bill Clinton, admits that when he was young, he broke the drug laws. But Obama and Clinton were lucky. They weren't caught. Not so a 50-year-old dance teacher who is the uncle of a friend of mine. He was just convicted for possession. My friend told me her uncle used marijuana for back pain. Now he's a criminal. He'll even lose his right to vote. Please, people who can vote, vote against these unjust laws. My outrage isn't personal. I'm drug-phobic, allergic to alcohol, and such a compulsive law-abider that I've never even had a parking ticket. But I know this war on drugs is a travesty. It must end. And if Obama's confession means he'll work to end it, then I'm going to work hard for his election. Now we have Geraldine's reading of her monologue, When I Was Young, taken from her one-act play, Autumn Leaves. This is available in both 1-minute and 5-minute versions. She read the longer. Janet, 50-ish, is raking leaves into a pile in her front yard and singing to herself. She looks up, sees a neighbor, and stops singing, embarrassed.
Oh, such a day! A day to be... I never knew what I was missing all those years my husband did the leaves. Raking's lovely. Harmonious. A harmonious activity, like rowing or dancing or that Chinese thing, like Tai Chi. There's the slanted sun, the intense October colors, the tang in the air. When I pick up a heap of leaves, hugging them, the earth smells so ripe. I feel so alive, I can barely stand it. Oh, a late fall day like this is a gift. No guilt allowed, because you know in your bones that winter's right behind you. You know what I miss most? Burning leaves. When I was a girl, the men and boys would rake all the neighborhood leaves into a huge pile and make a bonfire. It's against the law now. Dangerous. Well, maybe it was. Though the worst I can remember is some singed grass and a toasted trouser cuff or two. Still, the pollution. Oh, it's so hard to think of that glorious smell as pollution. Smoke so rich, so earthy, it worked a kind of magic. It turned the neighborhood into an Indian campground at the edge of the forest primeval. We kids would grab a sputtering twig out of the fire and dash around like dragons, spewing smoke and sparks and shrieking like sirens. There was the fun of leaf messing, too, jumping and dancing around and chasing and sliding and throwing, trying to stuff leaves by the handful down each other's shirt collars, rolling around like dogs. Well, like dogs used to. Like dogs on a farm. Around here, we've got strict leash laws. When I think of the way we used to play in the woods, we'd bike out together, kids and the dogs loping alongside, down the narrow cinder road. My knees are still faintly gray from the ground-in cinders. Down the dirt path from the road end, then abandoning our bikes to embrace the woods. Well, not embrace, exactly. Rougher than that. Trees chopped and carved and swung down flat. Traps set, pits dug, streams dammed. Of course, all that no man's land is now subdivision. It scarcely matters what we did to the woods. The whole area was bulldozed and built over. The trees that are there now were bought from a nursery and planted. Strangers who don't speak English are bought in by truck when the owners are off at work to manicure the lawns and attack the fallen leaves with handheld machines that sound as loud as jackhammers and leave stinking, choking clouds of burnt fuel in the afternoon air. Kids are carted by car to their tight-scheduled teams and activities. Shouts of laughter are out of place, like raucous shrieking. They're cause for alarm. Call the police! Alert the psychologists! Alas, if I throw down my rake and begin to dance, will you report me? Or just go inside and shut your door, turn on your TV? Oh, no, I don't mean it. I don't wish to alarm you. I understand we're all grown-ups, or so we pretend. But on a day like this, so perfect, and maybe the last, it's too much. Run away, or join me. I've got to play. I love leaves.
She throws leaves into the air, and singing begins a joyous, childlike dance.
I'll throw 'em and bunch 'em and roll around and scratch 'em.
Almost didn't get my second podcast out last week. Between the work, the weather, and the litany of news about liars in the administration, what was there to talk about? Well, if you follow the link on the artwork, you'll see I found a twist to the tale. About last week's show, Alan Woods, that Jen Gerlin interviewed, listened and thanked me for my editing skill. Not that he was hard to edit, he's used to speaking in public. But it was nice of him to leave a comment. If you have one of your own, either click the comment button or send me an email. I can be reached at dlmeyer@mindspring.com. However, I seem to have run out of material for this show, so goodbye until next week.